Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and we always devote that day to sports. And today we're talking about the Brewers season and some other sports news as well. But are the Brewers going to hold on to their lead? Were you at the game yesterday, or did you, like me, watch it on TV? Maybe you're going to the game tonight. What do you think of the season so far? I hope you'll join in. Justice Cleveland with us today. He's the sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, and it's great to have him back to talk about the Brewers, but also I think the Big Ten. Big news broke last week on that with USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. I'm sure we'll touch on that, and probably the Bucks, and probably golf as well, some live golf maybe. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or you could always send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Justice Cleveland, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back. Great to be here.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one to watch. I mean, it was like 2 hours of really quiet baseball, and then the fireworks really started as we got towards the evening.
It was just an absolutely amazing game. I think Eric Lauer up against Steele from the Cubs. And the Cubs and the Brewers, what a great rivalry for July 4th.
Yes.
There were over 40,000 people there.
Those games always draw well no matter what the records are. But to have it on a holiday like that, I think it just added a little bit of flavor to the rivalry there yesterday.
Yeah, and with Caratini, who had struck out four times in a row and then hits a home run, walk-off home run in the 10th.
It kind of tells you what baseball is now. I mean, the strikeouts don't matter as long as you're hitting home runs, it seems. So, yeah, the perseverance. I think he had the golden sombrero, they call it, where you strike out four times, but he still got the walk-off win.
Well, here we are. The Brewers are currently leading the Central. I think they're 47-35 as of today. And they've done pretty good, although I think it's about the same record they had last year at this time.
Yeah. And, you know, during the beginning of June, they endured a long losing streak and kind of saw their big lead from May completely disappear to the Cardinals. But, you know, they survived. It's such a long season. You're going to have something like that happen at some point during the year. Maybe the Yankees won't this year, but they got no hit, so who knows. But, yeah, you're going to have those losing streaks, but they are managed with their pitching staff. I think they're going to be able to there's not going to be many streaks like that just because of how good, especially Corbin Burns, has been this year.
Burns has been wonderful. I don't remember what his ERA, but it's around 2. And Brad Boxberger, I think his is a little under 2.
Yeah, he's at perfectly a little under 2 at 1.99. Him and Devin Williams both are right there. But, yeah, Boxberger came in yesterday, and what a gutsy performance. It looked like the Cubs were going to get some runs there in the top of the 10th, and Boxberger just somehow manages to squeak out of that one. And that's kind of been the Brewers this year. I mean, that pitching staff, you can put them in situations like that, and most of the time they've been able to come through. And when you have a staff like that, you're going to be able to win those close games, and that's going to they're not hitting great. I won't sugarcoat that. They've gotten the home runs, but like average wise, they haven't been really doing it that well. But when you can get a few runs and you have guys who can just shut down teams like you have with a Josh Hader, like a Williams, a Boxberger, and then Corbin Burns and Woodruff as well, that's a good formula for success. We saw it last year. It's just, when you get to the playoffs, that's where you get a little bit worried because all the teams have good starting pitching. And if you can't hit, that's when you get into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it was one of the exciting, always one of the most exciting plays is an inside the park home run, and he had one against him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was so unexpected. And yeah, to see that ball, once I saw that ball carom off the wall, I'm like, oh, this is trouble, because I didn't see anybody else other than Jonathan Davis running for that ball. I'm like, if you see that, you're like, you know, there's a big potential for somebody to go for the inside the park home run. So, I mean, that just added to how exciting of a game it was to have something like that happen in the ninth inning of a game And then the Brewers come back and tie it in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, it made for a really good holiday viewing.
Yeah, it really, really did. Yeah, what do you think about the injuries? I mean, is there more injuries this year? It seems like Hauser and Woodruff and Peralta still.
Yeah.
I mean, and Aaron Ashby, they've all been injured.
It seems like they were smooth sailing through April, and then like once the middle of May hit, they started dealing with those injuries a lot more, and that's the tough thing. I mean, I think they hinge on that pitching staff being able to do what they've been doing, and that's shutting people down. And I mean, credit to David Stern for being able to find a lot of these guys. They just keep bringing guys up that keep doing very well. I really haven't had too many guys that have really struggled pitching this year, so that's been the amazing thing. But yeah, I mean, even like an Aaron Ashby, who's only 1-6 on the year, but he's so versatile that you can use him as a starter and as a reliever. You really want him once you get towards the playoffs. And I think they just got him back off the injured list, so that's good for them. But Adrian Hauser's been, you know, he's got those starts where he looks electric. And Freddie Peralta, I mean, he's a guy you want your big three. And I mean, to me, the big three still, it's Corbin Burns, Woodruff, and for Peralta. And him being out for an extended time, you know, it's good that they've had guys able to step up, but you know, once you get towards the postseason, you're really going to want somebody like Freddie Peralta back in that staff.
Yeah, well, he's only pitched, I think, 38 innings this year, something like that. This is an unmercifully low amount. But just one more comment on Yelich, who has really improved since moving to the leadoff spot.
Yeah, and he's hitting over 300 in the leadoff spot. They did that right in the beginning of June, and it's an experiment that's paid off, at least with the batting average. I know there's going to be a lot of people that argue that this is a guy getting a lot of money, and they want him, you know, driving in runs and hitting home runs more, but he wasn't finding a lot of success lately in that cleanup spot or batting there around it, so you might as well maximize what you got. And maybe he starts finding it a little bit more with the power, but I'll take a guy who's, you know, he's one of two guys, I think, in the whole team that are hitting over 250.
Yeah.
And you need that. And for him to be able to set the table, score those runs, and he's fast. And this is kind of what he was before he had his big MVP breakout season. This is the kind of player he was down in Miami, who was probably going to hit you around 20-some home runs and be more of a leadoff kind of guy. So if you can maximize the use out of him, you might as well keep him in that leadoff spot, and it's been working. So I don't see it changing anytime soon.
And if you live in New York, you got to be happy. You've got the Yankees are 58-22, I think, and then the Mets are in first place in their National League division at somewhere around 50 wins, I think.
Yeah, when you have two teams on pace to win 100 games, and it's two teams in the same city, I mean, that you don't have anybody who's probably unhappy in that fan base either way there. So, yeah, I mean, for the Mets, I mean, Braves are right there, though, and that's a team that just won a World Series. So you kind of worry about them. But for the Yankees right now, I mean, they're 13 games clear of Boston at this point. And again, it's, you know, there's another 81 games to play. But I think the Yankees and the Mets are – I think the MLB's happy about that for sure.
Yeah.
Because you have right now, you have the Mets, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, and Houston. I mean, just these ginormous media markets that are set to go to the postseason, and then Boston will be battling for a wild card too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not discounting the Brewers, but I'm sure when you're a Major League Baseball exec and you see your largest markets all around first place, it makes you happy.
Yeah, and the Red Sox, I think, have won 8 straight, and their record is almost as good as the Brewers. They're 45 right. Wins to the Brewers 47, and they're 11 games out of first place, and they're
right. If you look at that AL East, I mean, Boston's got 45 wins, Toronto 44, and Tampa Bay 43. So they're basically battling for second place, which will probably end up being that wild card spot. So it's, I mean, I guess that's good too, because at least you have competition. And we're, you know, if we go back before they changed the whole division lineup, when it was just two in each, you know, league, this season would be over. You'd be at the halfway point, and a lot of these teams wouldn't even have a chance to be battling for anything. So it's one of those things that has worked out very well for baseball.
Well, let's take a look for a minute or two at the Big Ten. We got to talk a little bit about Big Ten expansion. You've got UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten. UW Athletics was excited about. What do you think? What is it? What's the addition of these two, and probably there are going to be some more.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to see this expansion continue with both the Big Ten and the SEC. It's an arms race, kind of, you know, just both these sides want to add as many teams as they can to keep the money flowing. I mean, for the Big Ten, to now span from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean, that's huge. I mean, that swath now that they have for media markets is big. I mean, it's not going to be fun for those trips for USC and UCLA in the middle of the winter to be flying over to Rutgers and Maryland for yeah. events and stuff like that. That's going to add some costs and stuff like that. But for those two teams, I think it's a win-win definitely for them, for the Big Ten and for those teams alone, because the Pac-12 has kind of been floundering in the middle of the major conferences for a while there. I mean, Oregon's kind of taken over as the football powerhouse. USC and UCLA kind of haven't been what they were even go back 15, 20 years ago. So I think them going to the Big Ten definitely helps them get more exposure again. And for the Big Ten, I mean, it's a win. It's a big win because now you're adding two stalwarts of the Pac-12. I mean, when I think of Pac-12, I think of the Pac-10 back in the day, and UCLA might be the first team that comes to my mind just because of you think of like John Wooden and the basketball dynasty that they built. And for that to be going away, it's not good for the Pac-12, obviously. They're going to have to fill those spots too. So I don't know what the end game is going to be, but I think wherever you just follow the money. And if the money involves these mega conferences, that's what's going to keep happening.
Yeah, I think Washington and Oregon might wind up over in the Big Ten as a possibility. Notre Dame is another one.
Yeah, I don't know. Notre Dame's in a good position now. If you'd have asked me 15 years ago, I would have said they got to join the Big Ten. But because they negotiate their own media rights and NBC is willing to pay them a lot of money to have those exclusive rights, I don't know. I don't know if I see them joining a conference unless the money is so good that they, you know, they can't pass it up.
Yeah, Kansas is another school that has come up as a potential member of the Big Ten, which it will be. It's the big, 14 now, and it'll be the big six, Big Ten, but right. 16 teams, and it's probably going to be 20 before it's all over with.
Right. I would say by 2030, we're probably looking at, 30 in both them and the SEC as being the two major conferences battling there. So yeah, they're going to continue to grow. And I don't know that, the future of college football is going to be real interesting to see with, national letter of intent or the letter of intent stuff with the money that can be out there too. So it's definitely an evolving sport right now.
Justice Cleveland, our guest today, sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire. As we talk with him about sports, we've been talking about the Brewers and taking a look at the Big Ten. We've also got golf on our mind, the Bucks on our mind a little bit too. But what about you? Questions or comments? What do you think about the Big Ten changes, perhaps? What do you think about the Brewers? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Molly Stentz, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along today as we talk sports on the program. Justice Cleveland, our guest, sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So it's great to have him back. Certainly, if you have questions, you can call in at 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Matt emailed to say he's actually paid for cable for the first time in his life because he wanted to watch the Brewers on Bally Sports. It's such a nice distraction from the steady stream of dreadful news.
It is, and baseball is one of those sports that is great almost as background noise a lot of times, too. It's one of those things where you can go in the kitchen, make yourself a sandwich, come back, and it's the perfect pace. I feel like it's a good summer sport just for that, so you can kind of – and the radio as well. Obviously, we're blessed with having Bob Uecker do the Brewers game, so if you're out working in the yard and you throw the game on the radio as well, I think it's one of those things that just kind of fits with that leisurely and a good distraction as well, because you get a game pretty much every night too.
Yeah, and the TV announcers are also do a really nice job.
Brian Levering and Brian Anderson and Rock, and you just throw all the names out there. I think we are very much blessed with some really good baseball announcers in this area. Announcers for all the sports in the area. I mean, that's how lucky we are here in Wisconsin to have some of the best doing and providing that soundtrack to some of your days.
Yeah, and I have to just make a positive comment about Sophia Minhart.
Yes.
Who I think does a super job on the sidelines with her interviews. You know, I watched her interview last night with Caratini after the game that she did in Spanish.
Yep.
And he was, of course, talking Spanish and back and forth. But she did such a nice job of working in the question, asking him in Spanish, but then sort of summarizing what he had to say or saying, telling us what he had to say, and made it really smooth.
Yes, and there's a reason that she's won an Emmy. I think that's a good reason right there. I mean, she really knows her stuff, and to have that ability to communicate with the Spanish players as well, I mean, Spanish-speaking players as well, that's awesome to have. And you can tell something about that group that they've been together for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun, because you can tell that they're friendly with each other, and there isn't, even when there's quiet moments, you know, there's just some gentle ribbing going on as well. It, to me, that's what really makes a great broadcast. And I think the Brewers on both sides of radio and TV definitely have that.
Really good. Brian Anderson, just to have one more thing before we maybe move on, but Brian Anderson is so good, but he's gone so much.
Yeah. He's so good. That's the thing. He's so good at a national level now. That he's, you know, I think the Brewers, I think it's absolutely awesome that he still comes back and does the Brewers games, because he is in so much in demand. I mean, he's doing NCAA basketball, NBA basketball. He does golf as well. I mean, he is that multi-tool. He's very Jim Nance-like, and maybe like a next generation there of Jim Nance, where he can do any sport and excel at it. So I think as Brewers fans, you know, you don't get him every game like you used to. But for him to come back and still do a large chunk of the games, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's nice. And Jeff Levering does such a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, he just sort of steps right in. There really isn't much of a drop-off, to be perfectly honest, if any.
No, and he had done the radio side for so long, too. So, I mean, it's a guy who's been around the team. And I think baseball, with maybe more than any other sport, because it's 162 games, and you're around each other for that long, long, long stretch, I think they really get to know each other, and you really get to see the personalities come out.
Let's turn to the Bucks. And by the way, everybody's kind of quiet today. I'm surprised. Give us a call with your own comments or questions. Usually we get lots of them. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Let's take the Bucks for a minute. The Bucks have had a busy couple of weeks, a busy few weeks at least, signing players for the upcoming season. Anything surprise you?
Not really. I think the fact that they've brought back most of the guys that were free agents, you know, usually you end up losing a couple of those players, but to get somebody like Bobby Portis and Wes Matthews, who were a big part of the run, and then Pat Connaughton as well, to keep that cohesion, that means that they really like what they have. And, you know, they were close to getting back there again this season. I think just losing Chris Middleton in the middle of that playoff drive very much was a bit through that, you kind of ruined their flow they had going into the playoffs. So getting him back next year, adding a guy like Joe Ingles who can shoot some three-pointers off the bench, AJ Green's a guy that they're bringing in as a back and forth guy who went to a Northern Iowa. So, I mean, for me, it looks like this team's going to battle again. And thankfully, unlike a lot of the teams in the league right now, they're not having to deal with the upheaval, you know, guys demanding trades or anything like that. For an off season for the Bucks, it's been pretty quiet. And maybe sometimes that's what you want, is just to have something where you're not worrying about, you know, guys demanding trades. You don't have too much to do with, you know, contracts. You don't have to worry about Giannis. You got him locked up. So I think for the Bucks, I think it's just finding a way to get better with what you have.
Yeah, and Giannis's brother's back.
Yep. I feel like he might be there as long as Giannis wants him there.
I think so. I think so, too. Well, I do. I try to play a lot of golf, and I'm not great at it, but I'm okay at it. Let's put it that way. But golf has been in the news and a lot more in the news than normal, with the Saudi Arabian tour, Live tour. What do you think of that tour?
Oh man, I mean, it's so hard to. I can understand why guys, if somebody throws you $100 million. Yeah. And guaranteed money, it's hard to pass it up. But I don't know what the end goal of that tour is. I think it's obviously for the Saudi government, and for them, it's to, you know, show the growth that they have. You know, a lot of people call it sports washing, which, you know, that's a big part of it. I just, competing with the PGA, I don't think it's a win situation. They say they're building up the game, but I don't know how much it's building up. To me, it's just for a lot of the golf, it's a money grab. I mean, that's the hard thing for me to get past. I can't see anything other than there's a lot of money being thrown out there, and these guys, for some of these guys, it's too much to pass up. So, I mean, I can understand if somebody's throwing that much money at you, it would be hard. But then you got to think of a lot of the stuff that's, you know, goes on with signing with a league that's being sponsored by the Saudi government. There's a lot more baggage there than I think a lot of these guys realize that they're getting into.
Well, you know, it's the Saudi involvement in the 9/11 terrorist attack is a reason not to be doing business with the country. You wonder if that could backfire among fans?
I think so. I don't know. I don't feel like it's getting any, like the actual tour is getting much traction. I know they've only had like three events so far, and they had their first one on U.S. soil this past weekend, but it's online, so they have no major television coverage. The formats, I don't know. I know it's different, and they're trying to do a format that it's 54 holes, and you got team concept. I don't know. I don't feel like the format in the PGA Tour, to me, is broken. That's just me. I like the way golf is. And, you know, we were talking about baseball kind of being that background thing. That's kind of what golf is for me, too. I love watching golf, but I'll also have it on in the background because it's 4 hours or 5 hours going on there. Like major golf, it's, you know, you can watch 10 hours of golf when the majors are going on. So yeah. I don't know what this ultimately ends up with, because if they're going to, I think for the PGA Tour, for them to be competing at the same time on the same weekends that they have events, like, the John Deere Classic just went on this past weekend. Well, having another big event going on at the same time for an event in the John Deere Classic isn't one of your major golf tournaments of the year. So you're going to lose some of that. You lose some of those bigger golfing names to events like that. The majors will be fine because the majors aren't actually, you know, they govern themselves. So if they want, most of them are going to end up having those bigger names from the Live Tour still participate, unless they all decide together to not allow them. So it's a mess. I look back on it. It's a mess for golf right now. I think in the end, the PGA Tour is going to survive. And I think it's for the players on the PGA Tour, it's actually helped them because they're upping these prize money. But being a nonprofit, the PGA Tour can only do so much, to the point where you can't be giving out these $100 million contracts. They have to match this. And one thing I was thinking of this morning is part of watching like a major golf tournament or even like just a regular PGA Tour is that you can have these guys that you've never heard of somehow come up and, you know, be that Cinderella story and win. Well, on the Live Golf Tour, it's an all-star game.
Yeah.
It's an all-star game every time. So, yes, majors are fun, but majors are, you know, you have four of them for 4 months, but then you have the regular tour stops between that. So I that's the one thing about the Live is, like, yeah, it's great to have all these big names, but every once in a while you want that Cinderella story of somebody coming out of nowhere to win. And I think golf is kind of that sport that's made for that.
I think you're right. I know, well, at least it was reported. I haven't talked to Tiger personally here, but he was offered apparently hundreds of millions to switch over, and he said no.
Yeah, and Jack Nicklaus, I think, was also offered a lot of money to try to get him to be the face of it. I think those guys, I mean, Tiger, I think, is reportedly now worth $1 billion, so I think he's fine. It's going to be these, you know, the guys who have joined the tour are guys that really hasn't surprised me, because it's a lot of the guys who I think view it as more of a business.
Yeah.
Because I Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, these are guys, Patrick Reed, are guys that are not your rah-rah, you know, huge personality guys. they're more of those guys who look at it as a business, and I think for them to be offered that money, that's why they took it. But a guy like Rory McIlroy, who's become kind of the face of the PGA Tour, he takes it personally. He wants to be part of the PGA Tour. And for him, I think he's benefited because people are really getting behind him as the PGA guy, and I think it's grown his fan base.
I think it has. J.P. McManus Pro-Am in Ireland, that charity event it's got to be the biggest Pro-Am event in of all time.
Right.
I mean, all of the major golfers are there.
Yeah, not just the PGA, but there were some of those LIV guys were there too. I mean, I had really never heard too much about it until like yesterday, kind of just reading up on it. But yeah, to have all those guys there, I think it's a good opportunity to get over there before the Open Championship and get a chance to, you know, experience a little bit of Lynx golf, because I think this weekend's the Scottish Open and then we have the Open Championship the next week. So yeah, I mean, to have the field they had, I mean, that is amazing. To have Tiger Woods there is enough. That's all you really need. And to have him there and then all the other guys too. I mean, that's quite the event to have.
It was interesting. Jordan Spieth got DQ'd from it yesterday.
How's that to have in a Pro-Am getting DQ'd?
Well, apparently he picked up his ball. He just had a little putt to putt in, but he it wasn't needed for the team part, but he forgot that there was an individual part to it, and he picked up his ball without putting in the one-footer, and he got...
You know, he needs to play with us. I'm sure we would have given him the one footer, right? I'll take the 3, 4, 5 footers if somebody's going to give it to me.
Oh my God! You mentioned the Scottish Open, just to bring that into play, because I know there was a court order.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Poulter and a couple of others had been told they couldn't play, and they went to court on it, and they were given a stay from the British courts that allows them to play in the Scottish Open. They didn't have a release from the European Tour to play LIV Golf.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot more court action here when it involves a lot of these LIV Tour guys. You know, obviously, they want to play in the bigger events, and obviously, if you're playing in the Open, you want to have a chance to warm up right by it there at the Scottish Open. So I think we're going to see more litigation happen. I think ultimately the best thing that could ever happen with the LIV thing is that somehow the LIV finds a way to play their tournaments when the PGA Tour's, you know, in the winter, when it's kind of now it's going to be the off season again for the PGA Tour. I just don't think they're going to do that because I think they want the spotlight. And I think golf, the spotlight's very much turned on in the summer and in the early fall.
Yeah. I kind of think you're right on that. Well, you can join in too. Comments 1-800-642-1234. You can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Janice emailed, and I don't know if you're going to know the answer to this, but what do you think of the Beloit farm team, the Beloit Skycarp? It's a minor league baseball team. They were formerly the Snappers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I get emails from them. You know, I'm up in Eau Claire, so it's not like I'm really that close to Beloit. But yeah, and every time I get the Skycarps do this, and to me, it's a great name. And that league of minor league baseball, I grew up in Green Bay, so we had the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. So you know, they'd play Beloit, and that is such a fun atmosphere to go to. So if you get a chance, I mean, we got up here, we also have the Northwoods League, which also they have down in Madison as well. Yeah. The Northwoods League, another fun league with a lot of college players in there that are, you know, still going to college and trying to make that step towards the pros. So we're blessed with having the ability to see the Brewers. You got Beloit, you got the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, and you got those Northwood Leagues teams all around the state too. And there's plenty of amateur teams. This is a, you know, I don't know if nationally how well known Wisconsin is as a baseball state, but for somebody who gets to cover it on a daily basis, we are really blessed to have a lot of good baseball played here in our state.
Yeah, we just had a group from WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, attend the Mallards game, the Northwoods game, and I've been to many of those games, and they're always a lot of fun. They're and you're close to the action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a league that keeps on growing. And Madison, I mean, the attendance numbers that Madison puts up, it's crazy. I mean, we have Carson Park here in Eau Claire, and that's where Bob Uecker, Hank Aaron got their start playing minor league baseball for the Eau Claire Bears. And we get great crowds here, but, I mean, Madison, it just shows you how much they love baseball there and how great of a job they do putting on the games there, because I think it's the tradition that comes with baseball in Madison that has continued. And, yeah, the Mallards have done a really good job of capturing that.
Let's take a call. Carrie in Jefferson, thanks for calling.
Howdy. Am I on?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
I have a comment about these players joining the Live League.
Yeah.
The guest just mentioned that he said he could understand if somebody throws $100 million at him that they probably want to do that sort of thing. Frankly, I don't understand that. If you're already worth 10 or 20 or $100 million, why do you need another $100 million? Yeah. To remodel that dingy bathroom in the back of the house?
Yeah.
I've kind of thought of that. That's, you know, that's, I think, like Rory McIlroy, and I think it was John Rahm who said that. He's like, I can live comfortably for the rest of my life on the money that I've made already and what I'm making. I don't need $100 million to do that. So it comes down to, you know, I guess my priorities, and a lot of these guys, like, what do they look at? Do they really need it? And yeah, like you said, like, a lot of these guys are already worth a lot of money. So what's the draw? I think the ones that they're for, like a Dustin Johnson or a Brooks Koepka, I don't think they need it. I think there's some of the guys they're getting are the guys who are later in their careers who maybe see that guaranteed paycheck now instead of having to go out there and, you know, try to play every week. But like you said, yeah, for some of these guys, I don't understand the appeal either, but for some of them, I can see where that money being thrown out in front of them, it's a moral conundrum. It really is. Yeah. So I can, it's a really tough thing.
Well, Dustin Johnson, I did read a piece on him, and his priority is not golf. His priority is family, more or less, and he can't wait to get out of it. And well, now he's got his out.
Right, and that's the same. I think Brooks Koepka said the same thing, and Bryson DeChambeau. So, yeah, I mean, they've definitely been giving a lot of talking points, too. You can tell if you've heard any of the interviews. You know, it's growing the game, more free time.
I don't see how it's growing the game. It certainly put the game of golf more in the news.
Right. Yeah, I just growing the game, I don't know. You look at, I know it's a weird comparison, but stay with me. So the WWE has had 3 events every year in Saudi Arabia, and they make as much money in those 3 events as they make all year round in the United States.
Oh,
so
that
just tells you how much it, I don't quote me exactly on those facts. I don't want anybody to, but they make so much money off of those that they have a tough time, you know, morally is on one side, fiscally is on the other. So, you know, there's a lot of those questions that go on with stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know how long. I mean, the thing is, it's not like the Live Tour, if it was a floundering, if it had been founded, you know, just basically maybe here in the United States by just some entrepreneurs, I think the Live Tour would probably be dead within a year. But with the amount of money that the Saudis can throw at it, I think if somebody was saying they budgeted around $3 billion for it, it could be around for a long, long time. That's a lot of money. So if they want it to stay around, it'll stay around.
Yeah. But I take your point very much so, Carrie. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Somebody else wondered about back to the Big Ten for a minute. You know, you and I were talking about football and probably basketball, but the minor sports, you know, the football teams, it's just another hour or two in the plane.
Right.
In a nice plane for them, but for track or maybe some of the other events, not so much.
No, I remember seeing some pictures on Twitter as soon as this was announced of like volleyball players from UCLA getting off the plane in Madison in the middle of December or something like that, you know, just like walking out in their back. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of costs. I mean, that is a lot. You know, we talk about trying to keep costs down, but for UCLA and USC, other than when they play each other, it's going to be a lot of money spent, not just for, you know, football and basketball, but for a lot of the other sports too. So you just hope that the schools make that commitment to the other sports. Because when you do this, you're not just, you know, like you said, we talk football and basketball, but there are so many other athletes this is going to affect, and there's going to be a lot of playing time for them, and you hope they're getting afforded the same luxuries as basketball and football are.
Yeah. Well, I think volleyball's come into, you know, with UCLA and USC, they usually have very good volleyball teams. I know Kelly Sheffield here at UW was very pleased to have them. And, of course, volleyball in Madison is sort of like a major sport.
Right. And that's great. And I think that's it'll help maybe grow it even more, getting those two major programs in there as well. But yeah, when you're a national champion like Wisconsin is, that's great to have, you know, better I don't want to discredit the Big Ten, because Big Ten has great competition volleyball wise as well, but to add a couple more teams like that, yeah, I think it's nice to have that at your luxury now.
Yeah, well, here we are, about out of time. Justice, geez, it's been great talking with you today. I always have a lot of fun talking sports with you, and I hope we can do it again. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure, and it was a good time. It goes by fast. It really does.
And if WEAU wants to offer me $100 million to come up and jump ship from, I'd have to consider it. I'd have to think about it.
Well, I hope they offer me too then.
thanks again, Justice. We'll look forward to another visit with you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Justice Cleveland is sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Great fun talking with him, and hopefully we'll get him back and we'll talk sports with him again. But there's another sport that you may have participated in at one point in your life, or maybe you're doing it right now, and that sport is roller skating. It's becoming very popular once again, and we'll talk about the sport coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.